thought he was hiding behind the pulpit there for a minute. So, okay, we now have time for questions. Thank you, Colin. Mm-hmm. We now have time for questions, and Brother Jason is going to carry the microphone to any brother that has a question or a comment for Brother Cullen on his faith. And so I'll open the floor now to the first question or comment that comes along. Brother Ron Corter.
Colin, just a comment on Ephesians 2. The only place in the Bible in the New Testament that faith is considered a gift is in 1 Corinthians 12. And there, obviously, it's defined as a spiritual gift. And the place in the Word of God that declares what the gift is Romans 6:23, the gift of God's eternal life. And in Ephesians 2, we're very correct to point out there that faith is not the gift of God, because grammatically it will show that's not the way it's modified. And even those who try to make faith God's gift, some of their very own have outlined and broken down the grammatical structure to show that it is not, faith is not the gift there. Just a comment.
Thank you.
Alan Bonifay.
Pass the wand.
That's right.
Colin, just a couple of comments to support what you said. I think people need to realize when they're studying the Bible, there's two kinds of works talked about in the scriptures. There's works of merit, whereby you earn something, and whoever you earned it from is in debt to you. And there are works of faith. James is talking about works of faith. Paul is talking about works of merit most of the time. Paul and James are not, they're not in any conflict with each other. They're standing back to back fighting the enemy. Paul is fighting people who are trying to be justified by works without faith in Jesus. And James is fighting against people who are trying to be justified by faith without the works faith produces. They are in agreement with one another. There's also two kinds of righteousness. There's absolute righteousness, which only the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the good angels, little children, and people who are mentally incapable have. But there's declared righteousness, which comes on the basis of God's grace, because you don't have righteousness. But God says, I'll tell you what, I'll take your faith and I'll call it righteousness. And also, and you got around to this, but on your screen on Ephesians 4:5, one faith is not talking about what anybody believes.
Right.
It's talking about what everybody ought to believe. Good job.
Thanks.
Melvin Blaylock.
Appreciate your presentation very much. It's excellent. I'm one of those fellows that I post things on Facebook every week, every Monday morning. It goes all over everywhere, and I get some interesting comments. I've been writing about faith without works is dead, and that kind of thing. I've been writing about the importance of faith, including obedience, and you have to be obedient to the faith. It's interesting, some of the comments. One fellow said, teach and preach love of God. All God wants is our love. My reply to him was, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5, verse 3. So I just always come back with the scripture for them to think about. But you're exactly right. That's the concept so many people have of faith. Faith's all it takes. No obedience or anything. The Bible just abounds with the message of obedience, showing our love for God.
Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Also located in Ephesians, you touched on the idea of predestination and how people take that. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on the misconceptions that people have on predestination and what it was actually intended to be according to that book?
The book of Ephesians is great. I think we got Romans, James, and Ephesians commentary writers here. But the biggest deal is whenever predestination, and they read those passages in the book of Ephesians, they read that God just willy-nilly making decisions, and they view the sovereignty of God without man's free will. And man just gets overridden by this outpouring of direct operation of the Holy Spirit separate and apart from the gospel or the Word of God. And what Ephesians teaches is he made a place, he predestined a place, and that place is in Christ. And he made a way for people to be saved in Christ. And so in Christ there's no condemnation. And so the fulfillment of every one of those promises to be sons and to all of his plan is a place. That's how I would probably explain it, just simply. Glenn, you want to further on that?
Yeah, but if you're going to talk, you have to have the mic.
The plan and not the man. That's right. the way it's easy to remember it, is that God predetermined the system of salvation.
Right.
And it was, but any God desires all men to be saved,
right,
to come to knowledge of truth. So the concept that God pre-picked, that's where gift of faith shows that God is a respecter of persons.
Right.
Is because you make God the author of those who are lost by him just arbitrarily picking who's saved and who's not. I mean, and so God predestined the plan and not the man, but he desires all men to obey the plan.
Absolutely. Acts 10, when he talked about Cornelius, God illustrated his fairness there. He's no respecter of persons. Good. Thank you.
Alan Bonifay. No. I don't think I'm ignoring anyone.
On predestination, people need to make a clear distinction between foreknowledge and predestination. Predestination implies or denotes causation. God caused something to happen. What he caused to happen is the way, or as you said, the place. Foreknowledge is simply to know something before. It implies no causation.
Right.
And even humans can have it to a certain degree. I like my story from years ago. We were at Granville Mahurin's funeral, and I was walking behind David Cryer, who was about 4, and he was walking behind a woman that was about 600 pounds, and he was looking her up and down, and he said, "Mama," and she grabbed him up and put his head into her shoulder, and he said, "Mama, Mama, that woman sure does have a small head," which was one of the funniest lines I ever heard. But she knew ahead of time because she knew her child. If a human being can do that, it shouldn't be surprising that God can foreknow things.
It doesn't change but anything to do with our will.
Yes, it does not interfere with our will.
It's good.
So I'll throw in one thing, a verse that has helped me in many places, including my own life, at John chapter 20, about the signs of Jesus. Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So anytime our faith wavers, which can happen to all of us, the solution is not to find a new emotional high somewhere in some new thought or new author or whatever. The solution is to sit down with the Word of God and walk in the steps of Jesus.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we walk in the steps of the Master Teacher. We, through faith, see his miracles, hear his words, and at the end of that experience, we will be okay. And because whenever we have our faith from that source, then we can look to the rest of the words of the Bible and say, yes, I believe in God. Now, what does he want from me? And that is kind of a version of what Brother Ron Corder has said for many, many years. With the knowledge of God, there comes the obvious question, what does he want from me? And who do I need to be? So when someone has a good and honest heart,
That's what they're doing. They're saying, okay, I have a knowledge of God. Is my knowledge appropriate? Well, if it's not from here, it's not. It's not complete. And once I have that knowledge, now what does he want? So that's a recipe for success, but we have to go back to the Word of God.
I agree. So,
okay, thank you one and all for your, yes, Ron, yes.
Just another little thought about predestination and what's behind it. The basic problem of Calvinism is they don't understand the sovereignty of God. When God limits himself, his sovereignty is not violated. And that's really the underlying root that leads to this individual predestination is false. But when God limits himself, his sovereignty is not violated.
Thank you all for being here this afternoon. Thank you, Cullen, for all of your preparation. Some of the speakers here endured many questions. and they're working hard to try to get to those for our benefit.